Hello, learners, and welcome to Learn On Podcast, the science show by kids for kids. I'm your host, Jonsi, and today we have a very special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Jonsi. Thank you so much. Yeah, so my name is Bianca Caruana. I am an Australian Maltese writer, podcast host, and first-time author, specializing in stories that ignite inspiration around compassion, sustainability, and spirituality. I am passionate about sharing voices and stories that shape our future for the better, and have been doing so through my own blog and platform called The Altruistic Traveler, which I've run for the past 8 years.
That's awesome. And I guess the first thing that I'm curious about is, where does your story with travel begin, and how did you discover your passion for visiting different parts of the world?
Yeah, it's always a nice question to be asked to kind of take me back to those times. I remember actually the first time I ever went overseas was with my family when I was 18 years old, and I have Maltese heritage, and so we went to Europe. But at the time, I remember being quite homesick. And so it was a very different experience for me back then to say 7 years later, when something had shifted in me and I took my first ever trip to India with a good friend of mine. And I think it was there that it really ignited my curiosity for the vastness of this world. And when you go to a place which is so culturally unique and distinct compared to the place that you were born, it really opens up this recognition of how our world is not just one world. We have sort of worlds beneath worlds and places beneath places. And when you start to recognize the beauty and the vastness and the differences in culture and place, I think for me that just fed a really deep curiosity, and I guess it humbled me in a way that I realized that there were so many things in this world that were greater than me. And I get started from there, and then I just kind of started to prioritize putting myself in places that were fascinating and different, and allowing myself to witness just this beauty that sprouts in all the corners of this world.
Yeah, that's super awesome. And I think I can definitely relate to that, because for me, I grew up in basically one place my whole life. And then 2 years ago, I started attending boarding school. And even though it's still in the same country, it was pretty much a big culture shock for me. And I think that was also a big step forward in my life with, you know, going past my comfort zone and moving away from my family for the first time. So yeah, I loved hearing about your story as well. And for any of our listeners who may be considering a similarly life-changing decision, but aren't sure what to do or are afraid of making that big leap, I know you had to quit your job when you first began traveling. And I read on your website that you like purchased a one-way ticket, and that was a big, important moment in your life. So how did you make that decision and come to that place where you wanted to make that big step forward?
Yeah, it's when I was working in a corporate career that I had spent the most part of my adult life climbing that ladder. I had these moments in the latter parts of that career where I started to feel as though my lifestyle and the circumstances that I had found myself in were fundamentally misaligned with what my values were as a woman, taking away all the external influences, whether or not those external influences came from my present or my past, in a sense that, you know, they were either from the people around me, from my cultural background. I think when it comes to our identity, we are influenced by so many things that we may not realize until we kind of stop and go on that journey inwards to look into who we are in the world without the expectations of others. And, you know, I had that career and I climbed that ladder because I felt like that was what I was meant to do, you know, in the society that I came from. You know, the narrative is that you go to school, you go to university, you get the job, you know, you get the car, you get the house, and that's kind of how it usually goes. But when you start to feel misaligned with that narrative and you almost start to feel that that doesn't suit your, or you're not coming from a place that is led by your heart, I think you start to feel that misalignment. And for me, I started feeling that misalignment by experiencing a downturn in my mental health. I started experiencing anxiety, which ultimately is a discomfort. And when we are in discomfort, I think that is an opportunity and a message for us to examine where we're at our point in life and make a change. So I really kind of had to sit with myself at that point. And even though I had made it in some of my peers' eyes and I had, you know, a very good job and I was very settled and stable, I feel like, back to what you were mentioning about the comfort zone, if I stayed there and just allowed myself to be in this situation where I was completely unhappy, where I was suffering, I just felt as though there had to be another way. And, you know, I look back on that younger version of me and it took a lot of courage to decide that I was going to just change the course of my life. And, you know, some may say it was quite abrupt to go from, you know, one extreme to the other, but I knew that travel was an opportunity for me to remove myself from the places that had so many expectations on me. And sometimes when we can remove ourselves from place or situation or external environment, that is when we get the chance to meet ourselves on levels that are deeper than we could imagine. And so for me back then, it was just making that decision to leap into the unknown and see where it would take me. And I honestly feel that in my experience, our intuition is so strong, and yet we aren't taught to listen to that intuition and to listen to that inner voice when that inner voice is the one that knows us best. So that's a little bit about, you know, how I made that decision. And I've honestly never looked back. I feel like some people have said to me, you know, did you ever regret that decision? And I never did. If I had stayed in that place and stayed being unaligned, I would have never experienced all that I had experienced up until this point. And I acknowledge it takes a lot of courage, but my advice would be to really find the space to be with yourself, to sit with yourself, to look inwards, whether or not that's engaging in mindfulness or simply just removing yourself from a lot of those external influences, to really ask yourself, what does my heart want at this point? Because the heart knows.
Wow, thank you so much. That was a beautiful answer. And I really loved your specific use of like the word misalignment. I think that's a really great way to describe some of the complicated feelings that someone like yourself may have had or may be having when considering a big life change like this. And I'm really glad that you mentioned the impact of mental health as well, which is definitely something that we're going to get in a little bit later into this episode too. And this is kind of a lighter, more fun question, but are there any favorite trips to certain countries that have been really meaningful or especially changed the way you thought about travel? I know you had mentioned, I think India was like your first big travel trip, but yeah, that would be nice to hear about.
Yeah, I feel like, so when I talk about that one-way ticket to Malaysia, that was the first year outside of my career where I had backpacked through Southeast Asia and spent quite a significant amount of time in that region. And what I found the most appealing about place in on that continent was communities that are clearly making change in their respective causes. And a couple of those places that really spoke to me were cities like Siem Reap in Cambodia. I actually ended up returning there a few times because I felt like it was a small enough place that you were able to foster community. And when you can foster community, I feel like a lot of people kind of get together and advocate for the causes that they care about. In a place like Southeast Asia, I feel like they, specifically in some places, suffer from environmental issues and social issues like lack of waste management. I know that pollution is a big problem in some of these areas, especially where they do lack the education and waste management. And so you start to see these ecosystems, these grassroots ecosystems sprouting from the inside out. And as somebody who is quite deeply passionate about sustainability, to go into a place like that and realize that there are people on the ground that are doing incredible work, it becomes quite inspiring. And, you know, you can really start to feel connected to those sorts of communities. So Siem Reap was one of those places. Kathmandu, Nepal as well, really sort of spoke to my heart because, again, I was able to connect to community. And it almost becomes, you know, 2 degrees of separation when you find people that care about the same things as you, because, you know someone who knows somebody. But those places really inspired me. And I seem to seek out places like that, that have a very deep rooted sense of care and compassion and drive for social and environmental change.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And I'm especially glad that you mentioned sustainability and considering these different ecosystems and just the different things that you've explored on these destinations. So I think that is a perfect segue into diving deeper into how we can travel responsibly. And so just from your website and your blog, I encountered a lot of words like responsible tourism, ecotourism, and ethical travel. And so it would be great if you could define more specifically, what does all of this mean and how can tourists take steps to make sure they are traveling responsibly and mindfully?
Yeah, it's a really interesting topic, and a topic that has certainly evolved over the years, as with, you know, the conversations that we're having about climate change and sustainability, because our world is constantly evolving. You know, while there are constant challenges, there is also constant innovation. And when I talk about this topic, you know, I like to talk about the conscious awareness that we have as human beings and the way that we impact this planet. When it comes to tourism, I mean, responsible tourism by definition is tourism that minimizes negative social, economic, and environmental impacts and generates greater economic benefits for local people. And in a world where globalization is increasing and for some, you know, the freedom of movement is increasing, this whole topic is constantly shifting and changing. I'm actually, you know, I'm doing a talk in a couple of weeks about navigating the ethics in travel promotion. You know, we live in this world of social media now. You go on to Instagram and people are posting about destinations and visit here and look how amazing this beach is and look, I'm having a great time in the mountains. And I think that the topic that I'm going to be talking about is as influencers, I mean, and not necessarily if you are an official travel blogger or travel influencer, I think it's worth acknowledging that we are all influencers in our own way. Are we participating in greenwashing our own content by only talking about the positive and the fancy side of travel and not acknowledging some of the destructive and negative social, economic, and environmental impacts that are a result of globalization and our freedom of movement? So, you know, when I talk about sustainable tourism, there are so many facets, from acknowledging, you know, the way that, how wasteful we are in tourism when we travel to a destination, supporting local communities as opposed to supporting multinational, you know, understanding where our money is being spent. But I think at its very core, it really comes down to this conscious awareness about the impact that we have on place and space and people as individuals.
Definitely. I think it's an especially great way that you phrased it, with not just being a travel influencer, but all of us having influence in each other's lives. And I think that is especially a unique perspective that I'm really glad you brought up, because I have read a lot recently about just generally being aware of this phenomenon of greenwashing and how travel can have a negative impact on like local ecosystems and environments, but especially just recognizing the impact that we all have as individual travelers is something very meaningful, and I'm glad that we could bring it to this bigger platform. And also in this whole sphere of just being mindful with traveling and the environmental impacts, I'm kind of curious to learn more about the idea of impact travel. And I'm wondering if this is different from responsible tourism, if you could distinguish this and maybe give some examples to help our listeners better understand this.
Yeah, so certainly there are a lot of initiatives in tourism that are creating tourism pathways that are less impactful in a negative way and more impactful in a positive way. So some of these movements would include, for example, the ecotourism movement. So you would have organizations that have a lot of their models based around planet first and not people first. On my podcast, I've interviewed some great organizations, one in Kenya, which were running safaris using solar powered Jeep vehicles. And so what this meant was that there was less disruption to the wildlife around, because you didn't have the noise from the vehicles, you didn't have the pollution from the vehicles. Another initiative is citizen science tourism. So there are a couple of experiences where you can join a tourism experience and, say, for example, help with documenting biodiversity. So I visited Thailand and we were documenting the biodiversity numbers in the region. So we would every day go and do these biodiversity walks, where we would go to a section of land where we were staying and look around and document the different insects that were there. You know, so we are in these places and contributing to them in a positive way. In Italy, they have a big agro-tourism movement where they invite people to stay on agricultural land and participate in farming. So there's a lot of innovation sprouting from the tourism industry. And I think it's really important to spotlight these initiatives, as opposed to this spotlight on fast tourism where, you know, you go in and you go out, you go in and you take pictures and you go out. I think that those kind of experiences not only remove us from connection to place, but they also mean, you know, higher amounts of people and people traffic in and out, and less focus on the environment itself. So I was just listening to a podcast as well about a slow travel movement in Venice, Italy, where they invite people to take these slow boats and learn about the different the Venetian way of life, and their focus is really on slow travel as opposed to, like I said, people coming in and people coming out. So that podcast was actually called the You're Not Welcome Here podcast, which I find is a really great resource. And I also put some other sustainable travel podcast resources on my blog for those who are looking to find some of those organizations that are using travel as a force for good.
Yeah, definitely. We will be sure to link your blog in the description below so that our listeners can access all of those resources. I really like the idea of slow travel. And I think in general, impact travel is great since we can not only be aware of the impact that travel and tourism can have on certain destinations, but actually turn that into a positive one. So, and I also hadn't heard of the agro-tourism movement before. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. So yeah, this has been great in exploring what responsible tourism looks like and ways to be more mindful about it. And so now I think it will be great to connect this into our theme of mental health and mindfulness. So how does responsible traveling tie into mindfulness? And what lessons have you learned about being mindful through your travel experience?
Yeah, I feel like one of the biggest lessons for me, and this really came up for me when I was writing my travel memoir, Soul Truth, which was released at the beginning of the year. When I first created the altruistic traveler, you know, I was just a young girl with big dreams, and I kind of had this mindset that I wanted to change the world, and I was going to go out there and I was going to share the stories of people that are changing the world. And you know, and I think one of the things that I learned from, but there are a few times on that journey, I'm not going to lie, like there are a few times on that journey, you know, I had completely changed the course of my life. I'd left a home and a city that I had called home for 28 years. And there were some points on that journey where I was feeling really disheartened. You know, I would write these stories about ethical wildlife encounters or ways to make your travels plastic free, and I would only reach a certain amount of viewers, and yet the Kardashians were able to have millions of followers, and I was like, why doesn't anybody care about the planet? And you know, I think it was those experiences where I allowed myself to turn inwards and to accept that I'm just one person and I can't tackle everything that is going on in the world. There are so many things. There will always be more things. But what I can control and what I can nurture is myself and the way that I'm feeling and my own growth, whether or not that's my own personal growth, spiritual growth, the way I show up in the world. And so one of the biggest lessons from this 8 years of advocacy and through writing, and I've learned this through writing my memoir, was that, you know, in order to change the world, I feel like we start with ourselves. You know, change starts from within. And if we experience misalignment in our own lives, can we really show up with the capacity for the world that we really want to? And it's okay to spend that time going inwards and finding alignment in ourselves. And I just realized this time and time again, not only through what we're talking about now, but you know, the way we approach our personal relationships, the way we engage in conflict resolution. When our capacity is challenged, I feel like our ability to show up in wholeness is challenged. And so taking the time to have mindfulness, have stillness, find the things that bring you joy, spend time with the people that bring you joy, spend time in solitude if that brings you joy. Know your values and honor your values so that way you can have the capacity to show up for the world.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought up and emphasized the idea of being able to nurture yourself and have that alignment before you can have the positive impact on others. And also, I think just with the idea of having like limited reach in the online space, especially since there are so many people with huge platforms and feeling that pressure to continue growing, something that we can definitely relate to. And also, you had mentioned your memoir that you recently published. So before I go on with on a slightly different note, is there anything else that you want to share about this?
Yeah, I guess, you know, for me, the memoir was really an ode to the last 7 years of this journey. It was the 7-year anniversary since I did make that decision to change my life. And I mean, a friend was saying to me yesterday, apparently every 7 years we go through big changes. So it was something that I wanted to write for as an ode, but I learned a lot about myself as well in writing that book. And for me, writing has always been a way of expression. And I know for some people that comes in art, it comes in music, it comes in our own ways. But for me, it was writing. And you know, I'm really happy with the threads that weave through that memoir. It's not necessarily just a story about me. I talk a lot about the experiences that I had through Southeast Asia, the people that I met. And, you know, I have a lot of gratitude for the people that I've met on my journey. And when I look back on this younger version of myself, I realized that I was approaching the world with an open heart. And I think that through my openness, I was able to connect with so many people around the world. And going back to what we were saying before, you know, we get what we give. And I really endeavored to approach that whole journey with an open heart. And it gifted me. It certainly gifted me back in return.
That is super awesome. And I would definitely love to hear more about your story in depth. And for our listeners too, we will have your memoir linked in the description if they're interested in checking it out. I think it seems like a very wonderful read. And then also bridging the connection back to mental health. I know you had mentioned before that when you were actually making that decision to embark on your travels, which you celebrate the anniversary of in your memoir, you had mentioned that you were kind of in a rough place with mental health and having that misalignment. So how has traveling impacted your mental health overall?
Yeah, if for me, being able to be in a destination where I can show up without the influences that I may have had in my birthplace, I felt like it gave me more space. I talk often about space when I reflect on these journeys within, and I feel like sometimes it's not necessarily space as in physical space. Sometimes I feel like we need to have emotional space. And for me, I feel like travel gives me emotional space, especially when I am walking through a place which is new and I find myself in fascination and in awe, or when I've had a beautiful experience or exchange or worked with an organization and I'm able to kind of go back to my guest house at the end of the day and just sit in a state of reflection and process everything that's going on. I think as a highly sensitive person, I require the space to process my emotions, and traveling has given me the space to not only do that, but to also recognize my own individuality and the fact that, and celebrate my own individuality as a highly sensitive person, as maybe a non-conventional woman in society. So when we remove ourselves from the expectations, I think that's when we can not get caught up in the comparison of comparing ourselves to others, and that allows for more celebration of our own individuality.
Yeah, I love all of these ideas, especially celebrating your individuality and breaking out of the stereotypes or like the societal expectations of where we might want our life to go and our internal vision compared to what is like externally projected on us. And now to wrap things up and tie this back to all of our listeners, we are really proud to have an international platform with listeners in so many different countries across 6 continents. So how can you apply the lessons that you have taken away from your travels to strengthen connections across people from different places and cultures?
I think that, you know, we are so alike as human beings, and sometimes we can get caught up in, like you said, these societal expectations, our identities of, you know, the identities that we attach to, and forget that we are one race and we are inherently kind and good. And I think when you allow yourself to meet people from different cultures, from different places, people that were born in different areas to you, people that have had different life experiences to you. And when we can approach those connections with an open heart, it leaves a lot more space for understanding and for empathy and for really deep connection that goes beyond surface level, that goes beyond, you know, who are you, what's your name, and where are you from. I don't think that those are the type of connections that we're really craving as individuals. I think we want to know each other on a deeper level. And so, you know, when we allow ourselves to get into that alignment, when we start to know ourselves on a deeper level, then that's the way we show up in the world and connect with different people, no matter where they're from, no matter what continent they're from. And so that would be really my advice, and a lot of the lessons that I've learned over these years is to continue to keep my heart open, continue to know myself, continue to acknowledge when I am in misalignment or when I'm not showing up in the world as the person that I want to be. So that way I can connect with people in a beautiful and authentic way and not feel fearful or feel like I have to look at different places and cultures as different to myself, because I think we are all connected in a way that maybe we aren't yet able to articulate.
Yeah, I think especially with connecting so many people on this platform and hearing so many different stories, unique backgrounds, I think this idea of being in a connected network is especially really meaningful. And today it's been great to hear about your stories and how traveling and exploring the broader world can help with self-actualization and, I guess, becoming at peace with yourself and your internal desires and goals. So it's been great speaking with you. I definitely learned a lot. It was awesome to hear all of your travel-based wisdom. And finally, before we end out, I just have a last little fun question for us. Do you have any interesting trips planned for the future, or any maybe countries on your bucket list that you really want to visit sometime soon?
At the moment, I'm really focused on slow travel, actually. So I have kind of turned the tables a bit and have been having the intention to spend a little bit more time in destination. So I'm reconnecting with my roots in Malta, which is where my father was born, and staying here for the summer and maybe take a few small trips. That's the beauty of being in Europe, is that you can go and explore places in such an easy way. But yeah, for now, I think I'm really committed to this idea of slow travel and presence and connecting to the places where I am.
That's lovely. I'm really glad to hear that. And we wish you the best in all of your future endeavors and travels. I know that they will be very exciting and they will be great things.
Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.